Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 2010, and twice more since then, I've stood on the Mount of Olives and looked over the old city of Jerusalem and its 4,000 years of history. And just behind me, a little way from that spot where I stood, was a special site called the Chapel of the Ascension in the Attur district of Jerusalem. Part of the complex consisting first of a Christian church and monastery, then an Islamic mosque. It is located on a site traditionally believed to be the earthly spot where Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection. It houses a slab stone believed to contain one of the last footprints of Jesus. There's a far greater story to this site covering more of its history, but like many sites in Israel and surrounding areas, they change ownership as rulers, religious wars and conflicts come and go through history. Today it's cared for by a Christian-Islamic agreement and comes under the Islamic jurisdiction. It's a Romanesque-style building and was first a church in 390 AD, and the current chapel was built in 1150. Prior to that, the early Christians worshipped on the site in a nearby cave. On the matter of the last footprint of Jesus embedded in the ground on that site, this is recorded in historical documents on the history of Jerusalem sites and churches. Over morning tea, you might like to have a look at the two pictures on the back wall, one of the Chapel of the Ascension and the other of the footprint of Jesus. Today, I'd like to reflect on the reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 14, that we've heard in the service this morning, and the 25 years of ordained ministry and a lifetime of service. Jesus' disciples did not understand him and his mission. They did not understand that no matter what happened to them or to him, he would always be with them. They did not understand that when he talked about the restoration of the kingdom, he was talking about the restoration of God's kingdom. And what's more, they would play a major part in that restoration. No, he was not going to be a mighty king who would conquer Jerusalem from the Romans with an army and claim it as his kingdom. Only God knows when that will happen. And it is not for you, he said, to be concerned about. What you need to concern yourself with is God's kingdom here on earth. The kingdom of God that is within you. The kingdom of God is in every heart where God is king. For this he says, you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These were Jesus' final words on this earth. You will be my witnesses. As Jesus rose up into heaven, the disciples gazed upward following his ascent. I suspect until he was out of sight, just looking up to heaven. I'm sure that is something we might do when we are in a situation where we're wanting an answer or explanation from God for a certain situation. We might gaze up to heaven. But as the two men in white robes, probably angels, who were suddenly standing with them said, "Why are you standing there looking up to heaven?" While Jesus has gone, he will return in the same way as you saw him. The disciples then turned around and returned to Jerusalem, which was a Sabbath day's journey. This was the distance that one was allowed to travel on the Sabbath. I would love to know what their conversation was on that walk. Once in Jerusalem, they went to an upper room where they had shared the Last Supper with Jesus, and they all prayed. They didn't get out an empty scroll, spread it on the floor and start writing their plan of action on how they were going to proceed as witnesses of Christ. They didn't go and put on their coats and sandals and go evangelising from house to house. No, they prayed before they did anything. They devoted themselves to prayer. Does it all end there with the disciples being witnesses for the living Christ before heading out with their new mission? Well, it didn't. And as Christians and followers of Christ and as witnesses, this is also our responsibility and our mission. So here we go. How are we going to do that? How are we going to witness for Christ? Remembering that a witness is simply a person who tells others about what has happened to them in their faith journey, telling our story and setting an example in how we live out the Christian belief. We can do this because we have the power to do this, because we are powered by the Holy Spirit. And there'll be more about the Holy Spirit next week on Pentecost Sunday. But remember in our baptism, when we were baptised, well, maybe you mightn't remember, you might have only been a little baby, but in our baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. It states in the service for baptism, at the point of baptising, pour down your Holy Spirit in blessing and sanctify this water. And in the confirmation service, it states in the words said by the bishop to the candidate, strengthen them, we pray, with the Holy Spirit. Here is our strength in our Christian life. And then in the ordinal for ordination, it says, all who follow our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ are called to serve him, setting forward Christ's kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we would never be left alone because of the Holy Spirit. It has come upon us so we can be witnesses because of our faith and experience, not always by word and evangelism, but in our own actions and the way we live our life. Jesus' idea was that the disciples, the witnesses, would do so in their families, their community in which they found themselves, and then expand their ministry to the adjoining region. Finally, they were to expand their ministry to the ends of the earth. And this remains the model for all Christians. We start where we are with our families and in this place where our church is located, then take our witness into the community places where we work and live and play. I know there's no way I could have done much of my ministry, lay and ordained, if I hadn't have a greater power behind me, the power of the Holy Spirit. Being present at the bedside of the dying, holding the space with parents before a critically ill child, and just the everyday demands of ministry and all its different aspects. I was working in the outback in two missionary hospitals where there was no doctor for hundreds of kilometres and critically injured minors arriving at the hospital doorstep or having to be physically rescued after falling down a mineshaft. I recall writing in a small book of my experience at Coober Pedy. There were times when we, just two young nurses, had to deal with horrific injuries, serious illnesses and extremely urgent cases to evacuate, with the flying doctor many hours and kilometres away. It was at times like this that we knew that the strength from the Holy Spirit and the power of God that was like a mantle of protection over us. Back on the ground in my local community, my ministry over the years has encompassed my love of elderly people, first manifesting itself when I was about 9 years old, when people were far less advantaged than me. Those that were picked on at school and bullied, who, as a child, I would advocate for. My early ministry years were focused on the elderly, and especially those who the church seemed to overlook when they could no longer be present at church. And I knew when Bishop George Browning asked me to establish and grow the household of deacons in this diocese, that if that could be achieved, then there would be a growing group of deacons working in the community among many with great need, the sick, the poor, the lonely, and in places of education, chaplaincy, the homeless, and many more places where Christ needed to be with skin on. Then the witness for Christ would cover hundreds and thousands of people, and I was only one small person in all of that. Likewise, with the nursing program, Covenant Care, the opportunity to empower others to engage in that program, showing Christian love and action, would be so beneficial to others. There's been a wide range of ministry experiences, some very rewarding, some very exciting, and some very tough. But when I look back, I know that it was only possible because of the power of the Holy Spirit and devotion to prayer. In our daily life, I always say that being a witness for Christ begins at home. My first experience was when I was taught to say grace before a meal and night prayers, kneeling by my bed as my parents witnessed their faith to me. I still remember those prayers and have passed them on to my grandchildren. This week I heard a story from a Christian lady who I share evening prayer with on Zoom at the close of each day. She asked for prayer for her 14-year-old grandson who was unwell in hospital and thought to have cancer. His parents are not religious, so the grandmother was the only praying person in the family. Cuddling her granddaughter, the sister of the sick boy, she suggested that they pray, so they prayed together. And the next day at school, this young girl was still anxious about her brother. The teacher asked what she could do to help, and this little girl, all of 9 years, said, "Can I have some time in a quiet room to pray for my brother?" Witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ begins at home. What Ascension Day does for us is to remind us that we are never alone, that God's Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the power in our daily life is and always will be with us. Isn't that what life boils down to? Surviving the moment when even the moment might be in life and in death. Isn't it a comfort to know that whatever moment is thrust upon us, we have the ability through faith to not only survive the moment, but to thrive in it. It's because of the ascension of Jesus that we're given the ability to understand the whole of this scripture and Jesus' place in God's plan. The point of the ascension is not to question the how, that would be an unanswerable question, but the point is to see the why, the purpose of it. Empowered by the Holy Spirit and steeped in prayer, do as Jesus asked when he said, "When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witness." May Christ be glorified in all we say and do in our lives. Amen.